श्री राम जय राम जय जय राम श्री राम जय राम जय सीता राम श्री राम जय राम जय जय राम श्री राम जय राम जय सीता राम श्री राम जय राम जय जय राम श्री राम जय राम जय सीता राम श्री राम जय राम जय जय राम जय श्री राम जय सीता राम श्री राम जय राम जय जय राम श्री राम जय राम जय सीता राम रघुपति राघव राजा राम पतित पावन सीता राम रघुपति रघुपति राघव राजा राम पतित पावन सीता राम श्री राम जय राम जय जय राम श्री राम जय राम जय सीता राम श्री राम दशरथ नंदन जय श्री राम जानकी वल्लभ जय श्री सीताराम सीताराम जानकी वल्लभ जय सीताराम दशरथ नंदन जय श्री राम जानकी वल्लभ जय सीताराम श्री राम जय राम जय जय राम श्री राम जय राम जय सीता राम कौशल्य नंदन जय श्री राम मधो कौशल्य नंदन जय श्री राम अयोध्य कुरुला रे जय श्री राम अयोध्या कुरुला रे श्री राम जय राम जय जय राम श्री राम जय राम जय सीता राम श्री राम जय राम जय जय राम श्री राम जय राम जय सीता राम श्री राम जय राम जय जय राम श्री राम जय 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 सीता राम ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय वी आर स्टार्टिंग अ न्यू सीरीज स्टार्टिंग विथ दशहरा टुडे वेरी वेरी ऑस्पिशियस डे वेयर लॉर्ड रामचंद्र जी हैज अ ग्रेट विक्टरी ओवर द किंग ऑफ लंका रावण सो आई हैव बीन आस्क्ड टू स्टार्ट दिस सीरीज with this particular lecture and I have chosen a shlok from Srimad Bhagavatam 9th canto chapter number 10 I will just go straight for the English translation after thus rebuking Ravan Lord Ramchandra fixed an arrow on his bow aimed at Ravan and released the arrow which pierced Ravan's heart like a thunderbolt. Upon seeing this, Ravan's followers raised a tumultuous sound, crying, "Alas, alas, what has happened? What has happened?" As Ravan, vomiting blood from his 10 mouths, fell from his aeroplane, just as a pious man falls to earth from the heavenly planets, when the results of his pious activities are exhausted. Purport by A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. In Bhagavad Gita 9.21, it is said, when the results of their pious activities are exhausted, those who have enjoyed in the heavenly planets fall again to earth. The fruitive activities of this material world are such that whether one acts piously or impiously, one must remain within the material world according to different conditions. For neither pious nor impious actions can relieve one from Maya's clutches of repeated birth and death. Somehow or the other, Ravan was raised to an exalted position as a king of a great kingdom with all material opulences. But because of his sinful act of kidnapping Mother Sita, all the results of his pious activities were destroyed. If one offends an exalted personality, especially the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one certainly becomes most abominable, bereft of the results of pious activities. One must fall down like Ravan and other demons. It is therefore advised that one transcend both pious and impious activities and remain in the pure state of freedom from all designations. When one is fixed in devotional service, he is above the material platform. On the material platform, there are higher and lower positions. But when one is above the material platform, he is always fixed in a spiritual position. Ravan or those like him may be very powerful and opulent in this material world, but theirs is not a secure position because, after all, they are bound by the results of their karma. We therefore should not forget that we are completely dependent on the laws of nature. The bewildered spiritual soul, under the influence of the three modes of material nature, thinks himself the doer of activities that are in actuality carried out by nature. One should not be proud of one's exalted position and act like Ravan, thinking oneself independent of material laws. So today we are meeting at the most auspicious day, where this morning we had a very wonderful lecture by a great devotee from Pune, as you all know him. And he spoke on Madhvacharya, and there was on Amrish Maharaj. And today also happens to be the victory day of Lord Ramchandraji. So in this book called Ramayana, it was originally written by Valmiki ji. And what is the meaning of the word Ramayana, first of all? So I went to the dictionary to check up, and what Valmiki ji himself said. So Valmiki ji says, Ram, Ramaniti Ravaha, the one who gives us the greatest pleasure or happiness is Lord Ram. Actually speaking, we are Jivatma, right? We are not the body. We are not God. We are not nature, but we are Jivatma. And please try to understand what Valmiki ji is saying. Valmiki says that the Jivatma has two important properties. Just like the sun has the ability to give light and heat, the water will flow, fluidity. So the Jivatma is constitutionally always conscious. Because when the body, when a person dies, the body has no consciousness. Means the consciousness has gone away from that body. Means the soul has gone away from the body. So that is, the Jivatma's constitution is, it is always conscious. And the other important thing is, the Jivatma has a function. And the Jivatma's function is that we have always to be a, in service. But the question is, whose service? So sometimes we are serving our own senses, our own body. Sometimes we are serving some company or somebody else, the king or whoever in the family. Or we can serve God. So that independence is given to us, guaranteed by God Himself. He doesn't interfere with our independence. So, in this case, there are two major players in the Ramayana. That is Lord Ram himself, number one. Then his own consort, Mother Sita, and a Jivatma called Ravan. Okay? So actually there are three principal players in this Ramayana. There are others who are assisting Ram, like Lakshman, Hanuman, Sugriva, etc. There are so many who are assisting Ravan also, like his own son Indrajit and so on. But the three principal players of Ramayana are these three. So today's lecture is on Asura Kula Nashana. So we are talking about how these asuras get killed. We must always remember one very, very important thing that Radhanath Maharaj has taught us. Radhanath Maharaj has taught us that there is a small, tiny little piece of Ravan in our heart also. Now, this is a very dangerous thing. When I first heard, I started searching, where is Ravan? Within my heart, Bapre, how he had got in. But the fact is that the nature of the soul, though it is basically blissful, because the definition of the soul is Sat-Chit Anand. We are very small, very tiny. Lord is Vibhu, infinite, and we are 1/10,000th of a tip of a hair, Sat-Chit Anand. And in that tip of a hair, which is 1/10,000th of a tip of a hair, there is Sat portion, there is a Chit portion, there is an Anand portion. But what happens is that these six anarthas, which we all know is lust, anger, greed, you know, kam, krodh, lobh, moh, mad, matsa. These six, like chewing gum, stick on to the soul. And this is what creates us to invite Ravan. It's not that the Ravan enters by himself. It is we give an entry to Ravan in our own soul. Now, by joining such an association as ISKCON, Krishna Consciousness Society, we give an entry to Ram also. And that's where the fight takes place, in our own heart. Okay? And then the question is, if you associate with devotees, if you chant 16 rounds, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare, every day, every day you start winning and every day Ravan starts losing. Now, if you continue this, fine. If you stop it, then Ravan becomes even more powerful. That we will see now in a few minutes. So the idea is to have a continuous steady dedication to the chanting of the holy name of the Lord, because in this Kali Yuga, God Himself arrives as His holy name. And therefore, today is a very important day, because this is the day when you all have won a big victory. You are all devotees of the Lord. And you are celebrating the victory of your personality, Supreme Personality of Godhead, over Ravan. So what you have is therefore a great, great confidence that I can win and I shall win. Just like, I'm just giving an example. A few days ago, there was a big thing in Delhi called Commonwealth Games. And we wanted 100 medals, anyhow. And we got more than 100, 101, I think. But whatever I'm saying is, if you have a determination, then you can win. Otherwise, you're not going to win. So what we are going to do today is to explain in detail who is Ravan, who is Ram, who is Sita, and therefore you can make up your mind that it's very easy to defeat Ravan if you have Ram with you. If you don't have Ram with you, there is no chance of winning. Absolutely no chance. So let's start from the beginning. Let us start with this person called Ravan, because he is the enemy. The problem is, you know, just like a doctor must know what is the disease first. Because the symptom is known, that you have got temperature or you have got some stool and urine or whatever, diarrhea or whatever. That's the symptom. All of us know what is our symptom. But unless we know the disease, then only we can really get the right medicine and the solution to that disease. The big, big disease is Ravan. Remember that. It's a killer disease, just like cancer. Okay? And the big, big solution to that disease is only Ram. So, first let's understand the disease and how we got with this association of Ravan. It's a terrible association. Because what happens is that right in the beginning, it was Lord Brahma, of all people, who, you know, procreated so many wonderful personalities, because he had to put population everywhere, throughout in all the universe. So Brahma had a son called Pulastya, who was a Brahma Rishi. Means he was a great, great devotee of the Lord. And he was a great Rishi also. So Brahma's son was a gentleman called Pulastya. And he lived in a hermitage of a gentleman called Trinavindu, near the Sumeru mountain. So what happened is that he was in meditation all the time. We are now talking about Satyug, at the time of first creation of the universe. So 60,000 years, what is the time that they had to do meditation? On what? On Lord Narayan. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Okay. So what would happen is that all these Rishi Munis would meditate all the time. But as usual, there would come along some young lady. So this Trinavindu's daughter, she came to this Pulastya and said, "I want to marry you." In those days, it was quite common for a girl to request a young man that, "I want to marry you." And this gentleman, Pulastya, he agreed. Why? Because he was staying in her father's house. And he felt, yeah, this is a very good match for me. And he, therefore, begot a son called Vishrava. Vishrava. Vishrava is the grandson of Brahma. Okay. This Vishrava also, as usual, started doing meditation like his father, like father, like son. So he started meditating. But then another rishi called Bhardwaj, he had a daughter called Devavarni, also known as Ida Vida. So this Devavarni, she desired to marry this fellow, Visharava. So she told the father. The father went there and with the daughter and said, "I am handing over my daughter to you." This was okay, I'll take. So he became married to this lady. And so Visharava, through this Devavarni, had a son. Now this is the important son. His son was Vaishravanan. Vaishravana is now known as Kuber. Okay. The finance minister of cabinet. So he was the finance minister of Indra, of the demigods. So this Kuber is the son of Vishwarava. Vishwarava is the son of Vishrava. Vishrava is the son of Pulastya. Pulas says, son of Brahma. So everything went on very well, and this boy was very, very good, Kuber. And he was so good at everything, and so good service he was giving to his father. That his father and Brahmaji himself, means a great, great grandfather, blessed him, Kuber, that we are making you the fourth Lokapal, means number four in the hierarchy of the demigods. First being Indra, second being Yama, third being Varuna, and you are the fourth Lokapal. And we are going to give you a big, huge kingdom called Lanka. So actually, the first lord of Lanka was Kuber, not Ravan. Okay. Thereafter, what happened? This Vishwarava, father of Kuber, continued to do his meditation, but there was one other girl. Her name was Kaikashi. Now, this Kaikashi was a daughter of a Rakshas. That's unfortunate. Now, this Rakshas's name was Sumali. Actually, Rakshas, how they were born, I'll tell you. This Pulastya wanted to protect the ocean. And from his eyebrows, these Rakshasas were born, actually. They were supposed to protect, means Raksha karne wale, the ocean. But they became bad. They started eating first animals, then they said animal flesh is not good enough. Let's try human also. So then they started eating from non-vegetarian, they became animal eaters and then cannibals. And this girl was a daughter of the king of this Rakshasas. And this Kaikashi, she married this Vishwarava. That means Vishwarava had two wives. One was a good one, the other was a bad one. This bad one, she married him, and at sunset time, she got married and said, instantly, I want sex. It's sunset time, which is a bad time, actually speaking. So Vishwarava told that this is not a good time. Let me meditate and this, that is nothing doing. And then, that is when these three children, one by one, were born. And the first one is called Dasagriva. Dasagriva, later on, named by Lord Shiva, the same fellow, Dasagriva, is called Ravan. And Ravan name was given by Lord Shiva. We'll come to the history of this fellow, Ravan. Because you must know your enemy. Because your enemy has entered your heart. He's got into you. And you have to finish him off. You follow? So, unless you understand Ravan, you are not going to be able to solve the problem. Just like supposing you have some disease, cold, cough, or some worse disease. Then you should know, no, that this is the disease, this is the medicine I must take, what I should do even after I am little better, so that it doesn't enter again, you know, relapse. So there should not be relapse of Ravan again in our heart. So we should know thoroughly this Ravan. It's most important. Of course, technically speaking, Ravan is none other than Hiranyakashipu. Again, reborn. And Hiranyakashipu was originally Jay, one of the Dwarpals of Vishnu, who were cursed by Sanat Sanatan Sanandana Sanata, the Sanat Kumars. But whatever it is, they represent the demoniac features. So, in the true sense, Kuber and Ravan are stepbrothers, from the same father but two different mothers. So, what happens is, that Kuber is enjoying this beautiful Lanka. And Ravan, looking at Lanka, he says, one day I want that, you know. But he still feels, ye bada bhai hai, elder brother, how can I fight him and all that. But this lady, his mother, Kaikashi, who is the daughter of Sumali. Now this Sumali was the king of the Rakshasas. And he had very bad company. Why? They were all Rakshasas. So his mamas and all the mother's side people were very horrible. Now the father's side people were always meditating all the time. So he had no association much with them. So he had all association with the Rakshasas. So it is by the company you keep that you become like that. So Ravan's actual father is a very good man. He's like a rishi. But the mother is a daughter of a rakshasi. So, and because he associated all with the mother's side only, he became a rakshas. But still he had that some good things about his father. So how can I kill my brother, Kuber, stepbrother, and take away his Lanka? These rakshasa wanted that Lanka only. So the grandfather, means mother's father, told this boy that actually you don't know your strength. You are too strong. You are much stronger than this Kuber. Because rakshasas always live by the strength. Remember this. So Ravan said, yes, yes, I understand, Grandpa, but I don't want to kill this stepbrother of mine. It'll give me a bad name, you know. So he said, no, what bad name? Nothing will happen. He said, no, I can't do that. But one of this Somali's ministers was a really sweet, fast talker. And he convinced this Ravan, means at that time his name was Dasagriv, that actually speaking, in the past also, there have been so many cases where brother, stepbrother have killed each other and all that. That goes on in life, you see. Aditi, Diti, they also had children. They fought each other. Same father was there, isn't it? So you should not feel sensitive about these things. Become desensitized. So first thing that happens when, I hope none of us become asur, but I'm just telling you, how a person becomes an asur, because we are talking about asur and suras and devas. The first thing that asur, to become an asur, the first qualification of an asur, entry level, is you have to become desensitized. You become not sensitive, but desensitive. You are not concerned about what others feel. You have no compassion. You have no mercy. The moment that those two qualities are gone from a person, he has entered into asurness. That is the first step. So this gentleman realized that this boy, who's so strong and powerful, has got some compassion and some mercy for his brother, stepbrother. So first let me remove this element of compassion and mercy. Then only he'll become a true pakka rakshas. Otherwise he's a kacha rakshas. So he made Ravan a pakka rakshas. His grandfather's prime minister. So that is how Ravan became a pakka rakshas. You must know that. So then what happened is that he immediately then attacked, because he had no more mercy for his stepbrother. He said, you have enjoyed this too long, now it's our turn. So in one sense, he kicked him out, and there was a big fight, of course, but in the fight that Kuber approached the father, that what should I do now? So his father said, look, beta, you leave this place. You both are stepbrothers. I'll give you a still better place. Usually a father does that, you know. When two brothers are fighting, so the younger brother wants it. Then the father tells the elder brother, give it to the younger brother. I'll give you a better place. So the father took him to Lord Shiva's place, Kailash. And Lord Shiva gave a portion of the lower portion of Kailash as Kuber's own kingdom. So Kuber therefore moved to near to Kailash mountain. Okay. Now Ravan then became very powerful, because he had just kicked out this one. And fulfilled the desire of his grandfather. All the rakshasas were very happy that they have now captured Lanka. But what really happened was, this Ravan felt that I am not strong enough. So he went for 10,000 years without food. And he did tapasya to his great-great-grandfather, that is Lord Brahma. His own direct, he is descendant of Brahma. Don't forget that. And that great-great-grandfather, Brahmaji, became little, you know, soft to him. And you want to know what the other two brothers did? One was called Kumbhakarna. Kumbhakarna lit fires all around him in the heat of the summer, and he would sit in the middle. And in the winter, he would sit in ice. And that went on for 10,000 years. And the youngest brother, he was a very nice boy. His name was Vibhishan. He stood on his one leg for 5,000 years and he stood on the other leg for 5,000 years. So all three brothers did great tapasya for Brahma. So Brahmaji came. Now, boys, why are you getting so excited? Why are you doing so much tapasya? So Ravan said, now this is very important. Ravan says, dear Lord Brahma, I have only one fear. I am fearless. I have only one fear. And I have fear of death, Yamraj. So remove that. Make me mortal. The same thing that Hiranyakashipu had asked Brahma. See, history repeats itself. The same gentleman, not gentleman, same Rakshas, Hiranyakashipu asked for the same thing from the same person, Brahma. And Brahma had told him the same answer. Look, I am myself not immortal. I have to die. So I'll give you another boom. You ask for something else. So at that time, you remember in Hiranyakashipu's time, he said, I should not die at daytime, not nighttime. I should not die from weapon or anything like this. And so on and so forth. Animal, this, birds, man, rakshas, or this or that. But then Lord Narasimha came as half animal, half man. In the nails, he ripped him apart. So this Jivatma, he's a Jivatma, Hiranyakashipu. He becomes Ravan. So he remembers that this time I'm not going to make that mistake. So this time, he says, he asked for three boons. Ravan asked for three boons. The first boon that Ravan says is, please grant me immunity from death at the hands of Nagas, Yakshas, Daityas, Danavas, Rakshasas and demigods. He purposely leaves out human beings. Why? Because human beings is a breakfast. They are like straw on the street. The actual word used by Valmiki ji is, I consider them no more than a threat than the straw in the street. Those are the exact words. So he thought that human beings are nothing, which we know we are nothing. But he also knew. Then Lord Brahma said, okay, I grant you this. What else? He says, likewise, these 10 heads of mine I had before, one by one I have put it in the fire to please you. So I want all my 10 heads back. So Brahma said, all right, you take back your 10 heads. The third demand he made was, I should be able to assume any form I want immediately. You all remember the story about how he went to Sita, no, as a sannyasi or something. So Ravan got that boon from Brahma only, that magic, that I should be able to assume any form I want. So these three boons he took this time. Of course, as you all know, Vibhishan only asked for one boon, and that is, I should follow in the path of virtue and go home back to Godhead. That is a good boon. That is a good thing he asked. And Brahma was very happy. He said, all right, take it. Now comes the turn of the youngest, that middle brother, Kumbhakarna. This Kumbhakarna was a real big-sized rascal. And the demigods were very, very scared of him. Because the demigods, you know, are very shrewd, actually. So they realized that Ravan's, now all these boons have been given. So as it is, we are in serious trouble. Now if more boons are given to this Kumbhakarna, then we are totally finished. So they approached Brahma that, look, Brahmaji, if you give any more boons, we are your servants. We are actually servants of Vishnu. We are managing this whole management of the universe. We won't be able to manage anything. We'll be finished. So Saraswati, it's written here that Saraswati is the goddess of learning. And here he says, Brahma mentally summoned his consort, the goddess Saraswati, who came to his side. And she went to the tongue of Kumbhakarna. And when Kumbhakarna asked for a boon, by mistake, there was a small mistake in his statement. He asked for 6 months that he should be sleeping only. That's all. That was the boon he asked. So Brahmaji immediately gave him that before he changed his mind. And he disappeared. Brahmaji left. Because supposing he asked one more boon then. So he went away. So this is how these three children, these three sons, became very, very powerful Rakshasas. But Vibhishan was a pure devotee of the Lord. This is the main issue. Why? Because he had very good genes from his father. So that's how. People may ask, okay, when Ravan was such a big asura and Kumbhakarna was such a big asura, how is it that the brother, youngest brother, was so good and a devotee of Lord Ram? The answer is, the genes were taken from the father and the mother. So the father was a very good devotee. So he got those genes. Okay. So this is how the three brothers began to live happily in Lanka. But what happened then is that one day Kuber thought that I should now fight again and get back my Lanka. And when that big fight took place, real fight, actually Ravan defeated Kuber. And his grandfather told him that if you defeat him, I will see to it that you be the king of Sri Lanka. So Ravan was crowned as a king by his own grandfather. Now this Ravan became so aggressive. He used to go all over the universe, all over, everywhere, because of only three things. He wanted more and more wives. He wanted more and more wealth. And he wanted more and more power. So one day, unfortunately, he went to, everybody knows the story of Kuber's son, no? Naragriva and Nalakuver. Manigriva. Manigriva and Nalakuver. So this Nalakuver's wife was considered to be the most beautiful personality in the whole universe. That was the problem. So never marry somebody who is the most beautiful woman. Remember that. Always a problem of Ravan coming. So this Ravan zoomed in on her and abducted her by force. And therefore he got cursed by his own nephew. Because she kept on saying, I am like your daughter, I am like your daughter. Because she was the daughter-in-law of Kuver, and Kuver was a stepbrother of Ravan. You follow the connection? So, but Ravan said, forget it, that you are my daughter, whatever, kuch nahi hai. I am a Rakshas, and that's it. So, that's where the nephew cursed the uncle Ravan. So, Nala Kuver said that if you ever in future by force take any woman and marry her, you will die immediately. Therefore, if you remember when Sitaji was abducted, Ravan didn't start anything. He put her in that Ashoka garden because he knew that something I do again like that, I will be killed immediately. So Ravan was afraid of that. However, Ravan continued to travel all over, and he went to a place in South India where there was a very, very, another beautiful lady. Her name was Vedavati. She was not only very beautiful, she was knowing all the Vedas by heart. She was a brilliant girl and daughter of a Brahma Rishi. So Ravan went and picked her up also. This is his habit, you know, picking up. So then she said, no, mentally I'm married to Lord Vishnu. I will not have any other husband. And so Ravan said, no, that Vishnu, what is he? The exact words used by, not me, by our Lord, I would say, the author of Ramayana, Valmiki ji. He says the exact word, getting down from his chariot, Ravan said, my dear lovely girl, I request you to become my wife. Indeed, in comparison to me, Lord Vishnu is nothing. Forget about Vishnu. So that was his attitude. Now, whenever a person has an attitude like that, that God is nothing, I am the real one, like an atheist has got an attitude, that there is no God, there is no God. What he really means is, forget about God, look at me only. So, this is the attitude that Ravan had. Now, what attitude she had was, that I am mentally married to Vishnu only. So she could instantly, by her yogic power, burn herself. So she created a fire and she got burnt totally. And the ashes went into the ocean. But her Jivatma also went. And that carried through and she became Sita. So the origin of Sita is in her previous yuga, Satyug. Sita was none other than this Vedavati. Okay. Because I told you that the three principal characters of Ramayana is Ram, Sita and Ravan. So we finished about Ravan, the main history of Ravan. Now we are in the history of Sitaji. So Sitaji was actually in Satyug, a princess called Vedavati. And she actually cursed Ravan before she burned herself to ashes and then she took birth again in Dwapar Yuga as Sita. So she had cursed Ravan that the next time you touch me, I will be the cause of your death. This time you are the cause of my death means action and reaction are equal and opposite, law of nature. So next time you will be the cause of, I will make you the cause of your death. But all this Ravan forgot because he used to be always very lusty. So when a person has got this lust, kam, krodh, lobh, too much, maximum 100%, then good advice, good thoughts, what is, he used to think, oh, chalo, theek hai, she burnt herself, we'll take another one. So he was not at all interested in what people were saying. He was only interested in what he was saying. This is another feature of a asura. Asura doesn't want to listen to anyone else, any good advice of anyone. He's only interested in listening to what he feels himself. No good advice is good to him. So Ravan then kept on roaming around the world and he kept on acquiring a lot of gold from everyone, means robbing everything. And he used to take it where? To Lanka. And this way Lanka became the richest nation on earth. Sri Lanka. And this Ravan became so bad that he one day attacked Indra. So by that time he had a son. No, I must tell you about Ravan's main queen. There's another very interesting story. You want to hear about this? So there was a gentleman called Maya Danav. This Maya Danav was a great, great architect. Just like Vishwakarma, no? There were two great architects. Architect, you all understand, no? Those who designed beautiful houses, built beautiful palaces and so on. So one was Vishwakarma, the other was Maya Danava. Some people say that Maya Danava was a Rajasthani, but anyway, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. But Maya Danav, Hari Bol, Jai Radhe Radhe. So Maya Danav had a very, very beautiful daughter called Mandodari. Now Ravan had heard that Maya Danav is a great architect, but he had never seen his daughter, you see. But he had heard about her because his job was to send out these spies all over the universe. Okay. Three things I am after. One is women, another is wealth, and the third is power. That is the his goal of life. So these spies told him that there is a beautiful girl called Mandodari. Her father is Mayadana. So, and he's a very great architect. And so your palace also can be built by him. And you put his daughter also there, no? So, dono kaam ho jayega. So, then he went to Maya Danav. When he went to Maya Danav realized who has come. Because Maya Danav also was a very brilliant thinker. So, he realizes this Ravan's attitude in life is like this. So, he said, you would like me to build a palace for you? So, Ravan said, yes, certainly. That you are going to do, but there's something else also you're going to do. So he said, what I am supposed to do? He says, you are supposed to give your daughter to me for marriage. So he says, if I'm going to build that beautiful palace for you, then my daughter should be your principal queen. For Ravan, it didn't matter who's principal and non-principal. Because he had no principal. So where was the question? Other people have principle. And he would say, okay. Every time anybody thought something good, he would say, okay, keep it to you. Hoga. You first liao, fir baat karenge. So this is the attitude of an asura. You must realize that they have no principles. So, but this Mayadhanav thought he's doing a good job, you know. So he built the most beautiful palace he has ever built in Sri Lanka. Never got paid for it, of course. In fact, he lost his daughter in the process. And that is another feature of an asur. They'll never pay you. And they'll take away whatever they're supposed to. You are supposed to pay. Asur is supposed to pay. That much he will take away. So there's a double loss in dealing with asurs. So this poor Mandodari, she had to go because the father handed her over to Ravan. Mandodari was a great devotee, actually. She was a very, very good lady. And she had, due to her devotional service, acquired ability to see the future. She could even predict the future. So in that sense, Ravan soon realized that he had married a smart woman. Sometimes women are very smart. So then he had a little more respect for her, you know. Because sometimes when he was going to do something, she would tell that this can happen like this, this will happen like this. So Ravan would normally discard. As I told you, he was least interested in listening to anyone. But when it did happen, whatever his wife said, then you would think, oh my God, she told me like this and this is what has happened. I'll give you an example. One day his eyes fell on whom? Parvati. A great mistake. So, this gentleman, second time mistake. This is Ravan. He went to this abode of Lord Shiva. And he started marching with his army towards Kailash. And he sees this Parvati. Now, how he came to know, I must tell you, it's a very interesting story. It was actually Kuber who told him. It's a big mistake. Kuber was, I told you, no, he got the kingdom. He was shifted from Lanka to bottom of the Mansarovar, near the bottom of this big Kailash mountain. Beautiful place he got. But one day, Kuber also, because he's a yaksha, you know, after all. So with one eye, he was seeing this beautiful woman called Parvati. And his eye got burnt. Just by looking at Parvati with a lusty way, his eye got burnt. One eye. I think it was left eye. Yes. So then he realized that this was a big mistake of mine. So he immediately started praying to Lord Shiva. For 1,000 years he prayed to Shiva, please give me back my eye. I made a mistake, I'll never do it again, etc., etc. So Lord Shiva in his kindness, Asutos, you know, he says, you want an eye? Eye for an eye. Jao, le jao. So he got an eye. But the eye that he got was grey colored. So actually, if ever, I don't think any of you will see Kuber, but in case you'd see Kuber, he's the only person who has got two colors, different eyes. One is grey and the other is black. This is written in, not by me, this is written by Valmiki. Valmiki himself says that. I read it 3-4 times just to make sure. That Kuber himself, when he saw that he has two different eyes, then he told also Lord Shiva, Lord Shiva, kya ho gaya? I've got one eye is one color, the other eye is another color. Shiva said, you asked for an eye, I gave you back an eye. You never said it's the same color eye. So what can I do? Now you keep that eye, otherwise that will be gone. And then don't come back again. So Kuber, poor fellow, he got this two-colored eye. So that story came to be known to Ram, you know, Ravan, you know. So this Ravan, he said, Shiva is not that intelligent. He should have been thorough. He should have taken away the other eye also of Kuber. Instead of taking away, he gave another eye. So I can take away his wife also. So on that basis, he went to. See, sometimes if you are too lenient and too forgiving, that happened, you know, in recent history, as you know, that Muhammad Ghazni, no? Who was that fellow, Gauri or Ghazni? That Chavan, Prithviraj Chavan. How many times? 16 times or something he forgave him. Should not have forgiven him. First time he should have killed him. But anyway, you won't have all this Taliban also. But all this is because of that, you know. The root cause of everything is that. That's why Krishna or Ram doesn't allow these asuras to live. They kill them, finish them. So that's a good thing actually. So it should be stopped at the root, you know. So this, where was I? So this Kuber, he had told his cousin, his stepbrother, all the story, what happened. One day Ravan must have asked, what happened Kuber? You had two eyes, same color, now you have different. Kya hua? Kaise hua ye? So that he must have related the story. But an asur is always looking for something he can grab for himself. Even from a bad situation, good situation, any situation. So he realized from Kuber's story that this Lord Shiva has a very beautiful wife and all that. So he wanted to go there. What Ravan did was a very stupid thing. He actually lifted the whole of that Kailash temple, Kailash mountain, and he started shaking it. So this Parvati got really scared. Now, what has happened? How can this whole mountain shake like this? Because it was not in an earthquake zone. So how it happened like this? So this Lord Shiva understood immediately that this Ravan fellow has come here. So what he did was, with his one toe, he pressed that whole mountain, and Ravan, who had picked up this mountain, his hand came down and the whole mountain came on his hand. And it was very, very painful. Ravan was screaming with pain. He was shouting so loudly that's written again, I must tell you, by Valmiki. Valmiki says that in the heavenly planets, Indra had gone for his morning walk. And he, when he heard that sound, he fell down. Indra. It's written there, in black and white it is there. So it was so bad, the screaming and shouting of Ravan. And that is why Lord Shiva gave the name Ravan to Dasagriv. That you make such noises that people get very scared. So you are capable of scaring anyone. That is the meaning of the word Ravan. But as usual, this Ravan got advice from his advisors that this is Ashutosh, don't fight him. Just say some nice, nice, sweet words and Shiva will feel good. And he'll lift the mountain for you and you can remove your hand. And that's exactly what he did. Ravan started giving beautiful slokas. After all, Ravan was a very shrewd guy. He had learned all the Vedas, everything. So he sang wonderful slokas in honor of Lord Shiva. Shiva became very happy and lifted the mountain, and Ravan took away his hand. So now you know the difference about Lord Shiva and Vishnu, because we are coming now to Lord Ram, the main one, the main personality of Ramayana. So here what happened was, as I told you, there was this big war between the demigods and Ravan. And in the process, the Asuras, that is Ravan and company, they ran to Bhrugu Muni. And they went to Bhrugu Muni's ashram. Now Bhrugu Muni had a very, very wonderful wife. She was very, very kind to anybody. She would not discriminate that this is Asur, this is Sura, this is good man, bad man, nothing. If somebody came to her and asked for food, she would give it. Somebody wanted some boon, she would give it. She was a very good lady. So these Asuras realized that this lady, she's so good that we should take a boon from her, because she has got as much ability and knowledge as her husband, Bhrugu Muni, having lived with Bhrugu Muni for so long. And we would like to become immortal. Every time you'll see The Asura's ideas are only one, how to become immortal. So she said that, look, I can't make you immortal. Even my husband is not immortal. But there is one possibility, that if you have an Acharya, so that's how Shukracharya comes in. So if you have an Acharya, you must have a proper guru or Acharya who can make you live again. Means if you get killed, like some surgeons and doctors, no, the heart stops and then again they pump and then they make him alive. So that is what I can do at the most. So this demigods felt very bad that this Bhrigu Muni's wife has done all this mischief. So they went and told Lord Vishnu about it. And unfortunately, Lord Vishnu, in his anger, killed Bhrigu Muni's wife. You see? Now, when that happened, Bhrigu Muni got very, very annoyed. And it was Bhrigu Muni who cursed Lord Vishnu that you have separated me from my wife. You will get separated from your wife. Rakshasas will take away your wife. And you will become a human being. So you will become a human being. Your wife will be taken away from you. And these Rakshasas will take away your wife. So that is how Lord Vishnu became Lord Ram. Okay? So this is a root cause. It's always nice to know the root cause of everything in life. Isn't it? So here is a case where Lord Ram is now to appear. Another very important reason is that this same Ravan fellow, he went to Ayodhya much, much before Lord Ram's birth. And there was a king of Ayodhya, because he was going everywhere and he didn't care, you know. And there was a king of Ayodhya called Anarayana, who was killed by Ravan. Means Ram's predecessor, his father's father. So this king was killed by Ravan to take away all the wealth of Ayodhya. Because Ayodhya was a very great kingdom at that time, very wealthy. So he used to go to all these rich, rich places and take away all their wealth. That was Ravan's style, besides the women or whatever. And so this Anarayana, he curses Ravan that one of my descendants will kill you. So these are the two reasons how Ram came to be born in Ayodhya, and Ram came as, I mean, Vishnu came as Ram, and Sitaji was removed from Ram by the Asuras because there was this earlier incident of having been cursed. So always there is a cause for anything. In the Shastras, you can't expect in the Shastras that things happen haphazardly. Nothing happens haphazardly. If one goes and studies deep into a subject, you realize that there is a root cause of everything. And there is a reasoning behind everything. And once you realize the reasoning behind a thing, then you know that this is the reason, this is the cause, and this is the solution. So this is how you can solve the problem. Of course, as you all know, subsequently, Ram had this big war. It's a long story. Everybody knows the whole story. Everybody knows about Hanuman also, that Hanuman was a great soul, great king. Actually, Hanuman is the youngest brother of Lord Shiva. Everybody knows this? No? I'll tell you. What happened was that when Brahmaji wanted to vastly expand his number of living entities all over, he called his first four sons of his, Sanat, Sanatan, Sanandana, Sanata, Sanat Kumars, to procreate, to have vast populations. And they said, nothing doing. We are brahmacharis. We'll always remain brahmacharis like 5-year-old. And he got very angry, Brahmaji. And from his Bhrubhu Kutir, 11 Rudras appear. Rudra means elements of anger. The first one is called Mahadev or Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva is actually the son of Brahma. And the youngest fellow is Hanuman. So Hanuman is the youngest brother of Lord Shiva in that true sense. What had happened, of course, when Vishnu is to come, whenever God is to come to earth, all the paraphernalia, all his entourage, everybody would come. So this Hanuman volunteered, and he became, because he was always a devotee of Lord Ram, so he said, I must be like a commander of or army. So he's the one who came down. Okay. So this is the story in short. Of course, there is a beautiful passage of how Lord Ram kills Ravan, because today is the day on which Lord Ram had killed Ravan. Actually, what had happened was one by one, all Ravan's commander-in-chiefs were getting killed by either Lakshman or by Ram or someone or the other in that army, Angad and so on. Then Indrajit also got killed. When Indrajit got killed, because he was his favorite son, who was to take over? Actually, Ravan had already declared that after me, Indrajit will be the king of Lanka. And now, therefore, he is now left with nobody. Ravan is alone. So Ravan created another army, a total big army, to fight these monkeys. This was actually not a true army in the sense of true living beings, but it was an illusory thing. Because Ravan had that power, you see, to create illusory things. And he attacks Ravan himself. And it's a fantastic war that takes place between Ravan and Ram. Because Ravan also had received weapons from Lord Shiva by his prayers to Lord Shiva. And he had that weapon was such that he could kill anybody and nobody could kill him. But since Lord Vishnu is superior to Lord Shiva, that is the important point here. Lord Ram's weapon was stronger than Lord Shiva's weapon. So it was the death takes place of Ravan by Ram, because Ravan could not defend himself. There was no defense left. So similarly, as I started by saying that Radhanath Maharaj says there is a small element of Ravan in all our hearts, we have to be very, very careful, because he has all very strong weapons. So, and we have no weapons to fight that, actually speaking. And what happens when you have no weapons to fight? And when somebody has very big weapons, you surrender. But then if you surrender to Ravan, then it's very dangerous. So it's better to surrender to Krishna. So it's a very intelligent move. You see. So when Krishna says, Sarva dharma parityagam mam ekam sharanam vraja aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshasyami ma sucha, he means also don't surrender to Ravan. You follow? Sarva dharma parityagam mam ekam sharanam vraja. That means only surrender unto me. Because there is a possibility, there is an option. We have many options actually. But don't exercise any other option, but only surrender to Krishna. So on this note, we will stop here. That we have a great day today. All of you should enjoy. There will be nice prasadam, I am sure. Feast, am I right? Our great feast maker is here. So I don't want to keep you far away from a feast, but in case there are any questions or comments, I would like to know. If there are no questions or comments, means the feast is much stronger. Oh, here it is. There's somebody at the back. No, mic hai kya? Mic dena to?
Haribol, can you just put some light on like how Bharat, Lakshman and Shatrughan, they are also Vishnu Tattva or they were Jeev Tattvas, something like that?
Oh, that's a beautiful question. Actually, Lord Ram is none other than Vasudev. You know that, I'll tell you in very brief, the origin of everything, Sarva Karana Karanam, ఈశ్వర పరమ కృష్ణ సచ్చిత్ ఆనంద విగ్రహ నాదిర్ ఆదిర్ గోవింద సర్వకారణ కారణం. సో కృష్ణ ఇస్ నంబర్ వన్, సర్వకారణ కారణం. హిస్ ఫస్ట్ ఎక్స్పాన్షన్ ఇస్ బలరామ్. బలరామ్ ఎక్స్పాండ్ ఇన్ టు ఫోర్, రైట్? వాసుదేవ్, దెన్ శంకర్షణ, ప్రద్యుమ్న అండ్ అనిరుద్ధ. ఓకే, ఫోర్, చతుర్వ్యూ, చతుర్. ఓకే, సో వాసుదేవ్ ఇస్ రామ్, ఆల్రైట్? వాసుదేవ్ హిమ్సెల్ఫ్ బికమ్స్ రామ్, ఆల్రైట్? అండ్ ది శంకర్షణ బికమ్స్ లక్ష్మణ్. థర్డ్ ఇస్ ప్రద్యుమ్న బికమ్స్ భరత్. అండ్ ఫోర్త్ అనిరుద్ధ బికమ్స్ శత్రుఘ్న. ఓకే, నౌ యాక్చువల్లీ స్పీకింగ్ రామాయణ ఇస్ 24,000 శ్లోక్స్. వి కుడ్ గో ఇన్ టు ద గ్లోరీస్ ఆఫ్ లార్డ్ లక్ష్మణ్ టుడే, బట్ దట్ బి అనదర్ అట్లీస్ట్ 2-3 hours. బట్ లెట్ ఇట్ సఫైస్ టు సే దట్ లక్ష్మణ్ వాంటెడ్ టు సర్వ్ రామ్. హీ వాజ్ సో అటాచ్ టు రామ్ దట్ హీ కుడ్ నాట్ లివ్ ఫర్ అ సెకండ్ విదౌట్ హిమ్. సో వెన్ రామ్ వాజ్ cursed to go to the forest, then Lakshman said, I am not going to leave you alone, I am going to go with you. So for 14 years Lakshman was with him in this forest. And his Sita's younger sister Urmila, who was married to Lakshman, actually she suffers the maximum, in the sense she is without a husband. At least Sita had a husband with her, followed. So Urmila has also given a great sacrifice. And Lakshman for all those years did not see Sita except her lotus feet. Okay? And there's a lot of stories about Lakshman, wonderful stories. Maybe somebody else will tell afterwards. Yeah.
Thank you very much for a wonderful class, Prabhu. I have just one doubt that when Ravana was manifesting Asuric qualities in him, why weren't his fathers aware of it?
That's the problem, you see. With many fathers. His father was always in meditation somewhere in the forest, in some jungle, far away from his son. And his son was as near as possible to his grandfather, the mother's father, who was a pure Rakshas. So, I mean, that's also, in a way, it is Lord's Leela, because he needed a very powerful enemy to fight him. Not a kacha pacha one, you know, it must be real strong. So his father knew, actually. His father therefore advised his other son, Kuber, forget about Ravan. You go and stay near Lord Shiva. But this Ravan came and followed him there also. You see, Rakshasas are like that. So that's why I think Radhana Maharaj says resides in the heart. Wherever you go, that Ravan comes with you. Because your heart comes along with you, no? So that's the problem. Is it all right? Okay, yeah. There's a question there.
Hare Krishna. During the Swayamvar Sabha, while Ram's marriage,
Swayamvar,
Janak Maharaj actually, she noticed that Sita could lift that big bow, and that's how Janak decided that she should get her married to a person who can at least lift the bow. Now Sita could lift the bow. When she was very young, and in the Swayamvar Sabha, Ravan also had come, but
he couldn't lift.
He could not lift. So now question is then, how come Ravan could take Sita away? Because Sita could lift the bow and Ravan could not.
Actually, that's a brilliant question. Are you all prepared for another 5 minutes? It will take 5 minutes for answering this. Not a one sentence reply. I'll tell you. What happened actually was like this. Sita, when she was a young girl, one day went to this room, and she was looking for a toy. And she looked at this bow. That bow had a big name also. I forget the name at the moment immediately, but it was, I think, called... you remember the name of that bow? Huh? Meshchap. Okay. So that was the name of the bow. And She lifted it and cleaned what was below the bow and put it down. That is what Sita did actually. And when the father saw this, he was shocked. There is Janak Raja. How my daughter has been able to lift this bow? I am not able to lift the bow. All these pehlwans and all these fellows in this whole kingdom are not able to lift this bow. So he thought she is really something special and different. And she should therefore marry a person who can also lift this bow. That was the condition, right? So now what happens is, she marries Ram, etc., etc., everything is okay. Now, the day before Ravan took quote unquote Sita, something very special happened. The original Sita went to Lord Agni's place. Now the story I am now telling you is from Kurma Purana. Alright? That is where the authority is. And there was a substitute Sita who came into the ashram. Okay? And Ravan, therefore, otherwise, the type of language, if you read that language there in Valmiki Ramayana, you'll be shocked beyond belief. The type of language Sita has used for Ram and for Lakshman is actually vile. V-I-L-E. No lady would use such language. This is actually a shadow Sita, not the real Sita, who Ravan took away. And therefore, answer to your question, that Ravan could pick her up. And otherwise, the real Sita would have given one smash to Ravan only. If she was able to lift up that bow, she could have lifted Ravan also and threw him away also. But it was not her. It was a substitute Sita that Ravan took. Okay? And then what happened, just to complete the story, later on, the quote-unquote Sita who was brought back by Ram, salvaged from our Lanka, there was a test to be done. So that Sita went into the fire. Who? The substitute Sita. And the original Sita came from Agnidev's palace out of the fire, and that was the original Sita. Now this was not known to that Dobi in Ayodhya. Because one day that Dobi, many years afterwards, when afterwards everything had settled down, that Dobi wife went away one night, and then he said to that wife that, "I am not like Ram. I would not take you back to my house." His wife went away. He still accepted her. "How can I accept you?" Now that reached the ears of Lord Ram. You see. But Ram didn't want to start all over again by telling that, "Hey, Dobi, it was not the original Sita. It was substitute Sita." Because these Dobis, you know, they are how they are. He would not have accepted that story also. Okay. You understood the consequence. That it was not the original Sita that Ravan took. Okay? But she had jewelry which was given by who was that famous lady in Chitrakoot at Mandakini Ashram, no? Ansuyaji. Ansuyaji had given some jewelry, no? To Sita. So those jewels were thrown down. So apparently it seems the real Sita gave some either real or apparent jewels to the next Sita. Any other questions or comments? Oh. Oh yeah. I have just been told that there is a very important stall below, and there is a request that all you have to do, there is this killing of these calves and bulls and cows is taking place at a place at a time called Bakri Eid. Actually, a very horrible thing. So all of us have to write a petition that this business of killing cows and calves must stop immediately. So that's a request that when you go out down, you may kindly make a petition. Incidentally, about Bakrid, I must tell you from the Quran how it all happened.